Scripture reading for this evening is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Good to be with you tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence as we do each and every service that we have, especially if we have any visitors with us tonight. We're glad that you're here and you're our honored guest. I'm not going to keep you very long here tonight. I got a request a while ago to preach a little bit on prayer. I was asked, teach me how to pray. And of course, prayer is one of the wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. It is, outside of salvation, maybe our greatest blessing. And I've often said that probably most of us would admit that we neglect prayer, that we don't pray as often as we should. And we need to discipline ourselves, of course, to do that, to pray more often, to pray with more faith and with more passion. And a lot of that comes just by practice. But when I think about the request, teach me how to pray, I think about what we go over every year in the men's training class. We set forth the acronym ACTS. And there, I don't know who that originated with, but it's been around for a long time. But it is a device that can help us to pray. And it's not just for men in the men's training class. Of course, with regard to the men's training class, for men who have to come forward and stand before a group of people and pray, thinking of ACTS can really help. And you don't have to pray every prayer that is involved, every kind of prayer that is involved in that acronym ACTS. But when you stand before people and you're worried about, well, I might draw a blank, and I might find myself just standing there with nothing to say, which can easily happen, not just when men get up and pray, but when preachers get up and preach, sometimes that happens. But with regard to the acronym ACTS, that can really help. If you can just think of that word ACTS, you can pick up on any one of those letters and begin to pray the prayer that is suggested by the letter. But it is also something that can help you in the privacy of your own home. Like, there's a lot of things that we can pray for that certainly we know just what to say, not specifically. But, for example, when men pray at home for the family before we eat, there's not usually a problem with that. Or when something has gone amiss in our life and we approach God's throne and we pray for it. Well, obviously, we pray for that specific thing, whatever it is, and there's no problem with that. But someone may wonder, but how do I pray more often? Like, if I'm going to pray every day, what am I to pray for every single day? And that's where ACTS can come in and help us. You can spend hours in prayer if you really wanted to, just by praying through that acronym. And so, again, that isn't anything that originates with me. It's been around a long time. I don't know who the author of that was. But with regard to ACTS, the A stands for adoration. And certainly when we pray, that's what we ought to do. We ought to praise God. We ought to adore God and express that in our prayers. You remember, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray like this: My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so he teaches them to begin with adoration. And we understand that there is no formula, there is no format that we have to pray. Like, there's not an order to pray. You don't necessarily have to begin every prayer with giving adoration. But certainly there isn't anything wrong with that. But it is a wonderful thing to do in prayer. Just praise God. And He deserves our prayer, our praise, doesn't He? He deserves to be honored and to be magnified by the fruit of our lips when we pray. There is a wonderful, wonderful prayer in 1 Chronicles. Turn your Bibles over there to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I've often read this particular prayer, and it is a prayer that you could really pray, as long as it comes from the heart. You could pray it verbatim, and it would be a wonderful prayer. It is a great prayer of adoration. It comes from David. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and at verse 10, listen at this, as he, in a magnificent way, describes God. He says, therefore, it says, therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. That's a prayer of adoration. And again, you wouldn't have to necessarily pray that particular prayer, but you, in just in the privacy of your home, you put aside some time to pray and do it every day. And you say, what am I going to pray for? Begin with adoration. Just praise God with whatever it is that comes to your mind about the greatness and the power and the majesty of God and who He is and what He has done. And you could praise Him for His creation, even as David did here. You can praise Him again for His power and might, as David did. But you could put it in your own words, word it just the way you want to or what comes to your mind. But just spend some time praising God. Let me ask you, how long do you think you could spend just praising God? I suspect quite a bit of time could go by with you just giving God adoration. And so that's how you pray. Just you praise God. And then the C in Acts stands for confession. And the fact of the matter is, we're all sinners, aren't we? We all have weaknesses. We all fall short, as Paul said, of the glory of God. And so we sin on a regular basis. That's true about all of us. We sin in word, thought, or deed. And if we deny that, you remember John in 1 John 1 says that we lie and the truth is not in us. There are no perfect people here tonight. There is no Christian here who has reached that state of perfection where there's no areas where you need to grow and that you reach the point where you never, ever, ever sin. That's just something that we don't attain in this life. And so there's always something to confess. And we ought to do that. You remember, of course, in what we refer to often as the second law of pardon in Acts chapter 8, that when Simon the former sorcerer sinned, he allowed greed to get the best of his heart. And so what did Peter tell him? He told him to repent and pray God, if perhaps your heart may be forgiven. And so that would be, the praying there would be a prayer of confession. And over in 1 John chapter 1, you remember that John kind of explains that a little bit. In 1 John chapter 1, this is the passage I alluded to a moment ago. If we deny that we have sinned, then the truth is not in us. But notice what he says there. 1 John chapter 1, and at verse 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But then verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to practice that, don't we? We need to. And by the way, this is not talking about coming before a congregation and making a confession. And certainly we practice that, and nothing wrong with that. But that's not really what this is talking about. This is talking about the same thing that Acts 8 is talking about. When you sin, repent and ask God for forgiveness. Confess your sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And it doesn't have to be necessarily sin. It just, we have weaknesses, don't we? There's areas where we need to improve in. Have you ever disappointed God? Do you think that God is disappointed in any aspect of your Christianity? Confess it to God. Ask Him to help you, to give you strength and power to improve yourself in that area of weakness, whatever it is. You could certainly spend some time. I know I could spend some time with God in prayer with regard to that. David is gives another example of the prayer of confession in Psalms. I think we're all familiar with this. Psalms 51, I believe, is the passage. Psalms 51. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know that my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." And he's simply confessing, isn't he, to God. A prayer of confession. How long do you think you could spend asking God to forgive you of either sins you know you have committed, or maybe even praying for God to forgive you of sins that you may be unaware of? And then going from there to just asking God to help you in your areas of weakness. You could pray a long time just doing that. And that would be a good and a noble prayer. That would, of course, when it comes down to sin, it's something that God demands of us. And it's a part of that second law of pardon. But just in general, praying to God, confessing your shortcomings and your weaknesses to God is a noble thing to do. And that could help you with regard to your prayer. Just practice that every day. You, in the privacy of your own home again. If we continue to read in Matthew chapter 6, we'd read about that closet, figuratively speaking, the closet that Jesus says to enter into and pray. Prayer is not always about praying publicly or being like the Pharisees and praying so that men will hear you and praise you for your great words. No, sometimes we need to enter into that prayer closet, into that prayer room when we're all by ourselves. There's no one there except us and God. We've separated ourselves from everybody and everything, even from our family, our wives, our husbands, our children, and we're just alone with God. You could spend hours just praising God and then confessing your shortcomings and even your sins. And so the confession part of it. And then the T is thanksgiving. And I think you know right away, well, we could spend a lot of time, or we should be able to spend a lot of time just thanking God. And we have a lot of examples of that in the Bible. Certainly, we ought to thank God for His providential care. We ought to thank God for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. You remember Jesus Himself. Thank God that He heard His prayer. When the last time you've done that? I mean, when's the last time you really articulated that? You simply, in prayer, thank God that you have the ability to pray. Let's not forget the only reason we can pray and we have a praying relationship with God is that we have been forgiven, that our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. And so Hebrews chapter 10 teaches us that it is by His blood that we're able to enter into that holy place, to the very throne room of God, and speak directly to Him. What a wonderful blessing that is. But it costs the blood of Jesus Christ to make that possible. We ought to take advantage of that. We ought to thank God that we are even able to pray. And they're just all kind of, I think not that long ago, I preached a lesson on Thanksgiving. And I talked about the idea, if you recall, just thanking God because he is good. And when's the last time you've done that? Psalms 117 and also the first couple of verses in Psalms 118 talks about that specifically. Thank God that he is good. And the list goes on and on of things you can thank God for. Your material blessings. The salvation that you have in Christ. Romans chapter 6, Paul said something about that, thanking God that we have been set free. It has to do with our salvation. And thanking God for each other, and thanking God for the local church, and thanking God for the elders that oversee us, and the deacons that serve, and just thanking God. We can go on and on thanking God for our families, for our children, for our husbands or our wives. And the list is endless. How much time do you think you could spend just thanking God? How do we pray? Just think about these sort of things. Can you imagine how much time would be spent if you just did that? If you began by praising God in every way you can think of, and then confessing your sins and shortcomings, and then spend some time thanking God for all that he has done and all of who he is. And quite a bit of time would have passed if you just did that alone. And by the way, when it comes down to being thankful, you know, God despises ingratitude. Just read Romans chapter 1 with regard to that. How Paul explains how the wrath of God will be poured out on the Gentiles because they weren't thankful. They exchanged the truth about God and his reality for idols and that sort of thing. They exchanged the Creator for things that are created, and God despised that. And so he does with us. We ought to be thankful. And we ought to be able to spend a long time in thanksgiving. And then the S is supplication. And that has to do with praying for others. And I'm going to real soon, maybe next week, I got to thinking of Paul and praying for other people. Just think about all the prayers that Paul prayed for others. Prayers of supplication. You want to talk about a man who did a whole lot of praying? If you believe what Paul wrote, and I absolutely do, 100%, I think all of you do too. I don't think Paul ever embellished or anything like that. And in almost all of his writings, when he's writing to churches, he'll always somewhere in the beginning indicate to them that he is praying for them. And I believe he did. And the prayers that he prayed are magnificent, really. I give you an example of it, and maybe we'll come back here next week and look specifically at some of these prayers of supplication. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, and here's obviously Paul writing to the brethren at Ephesus, and in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at about verse 16, he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you." You believe that? You believe that Paul prayed regularly for the brethren at Ephesus? I do. He says, I don't cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers that God our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. That's what he was praying for. Praying that their eyes will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's quite a prayer. Praying that their eyes of enlightening would their eyes would be enlightened, their minds would be enlightening, that they'll realize that they are the inheritance of God. And over in the very next book, in the book of Philippians, turn over there, Philippians chapter 1. Down at about verse 8, he says, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affections of Christ Jesus." Then verse 9, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more." That's a noble prayer, isn't it? He was praying for them. He wanted them to grow in love. But now watch this. He says, with knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I want you to grow in love, and I want you to have the right kind of love, a discerning love. That was his prayer. You believe Paul prayed that prayer for the brethren at Philippi? He said he did. I believe him. That's a good prayer. And we can not only learn about some things that we probably should be praying for one another, but how valuable these things. If Paul prayed for the brethren to abound in love, then we need to abound in love ourselves, don't we? It's good stuff. That's a good prayer. And over in the book of Colossians, and in Colossians chapter 1, he prayed for the brethren at Colossae. At verse 9, he says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Think about that. He prayed for the brethren at Ephesus without ceasing. He prayed for the brethren at Philippi. Now he tells the brethren in Colossae that we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Paul said, I'm praying for you about that. That's a good prayer. And all of these are prayers of supplication. The point of it is for this lesson is Paul spent a lot of time praying for other people. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul spent a lot of time praying for himself. That Paul spent much time with prayers of adoration and prayers of confession and prayers of thanksgiving. But he also spent a lot of time praying for other people. And you can do that in the privacy of your home. The Brown Street Church of Christ needs your prayers. We need to grow, and we have our areas of weakness, and we need prayer. And we're the ones to do it, to pray for this local church. The world out there who is in sin, who are lost. And if they're not reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're destined for a devil's hell. They need our prayers. Who can pray for them? But those who have a praying relationship with God, that's you and me. Christians, members of the body of Christ. We certainly can pray for other people. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our biological families or spiritual family. There are so many people that we need to pray for. We need to pray for the president. We need to pray for our government. The list goes on and on. Can you think of how many prayers you can offer? Just prayers of supplication. Praying for other people. Prayer is not all about me, me, me. It's praying for other people as well. So how do you pray? I'm no expert on prayer, but I do know that there are a lot of different kinds of prayer in the Bible. And if you want to spend more time in prayer, just think of Acts. Think of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And apply that in your own personal prayer life at home. And see how much time you can spend in prayer. I hope that we'll be a praying congregation. Again, I know that we neglect prayer. Maybe I should just speak for myself. I don't pray as often as I should, and I need to do better with that. But I think probably we all can. Let's be a praying congregation, because prayer is powerful. It's one of the only things that can change the mind of God. The prayers of the righteous, James said, availeth much. We need to be practicing prayer. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? One of the things, if we were doing a study on prayer, that we would point out is that indeed prayer is only for those who have a relationship with God. God heareth not sinners, John 9:31 tells us. If you want to pray in relationship with God, you have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to be able to stop anytime, anywhere in prayer and pray, you have to be in the family of God. And you do that by obeying the gospel of Christ. Acts 2 at verse 38, repent and be baptized, Peter said, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to do that? To repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord. The baptism, of course, has to be right. The mode of it has to be right. You can't just be sprinkled. You have to be buried in the waters of baptism. We see that in Romans chapter 6 at verse 4. You have to, as we just quoted, be baptized for the right reason. You have to be baptized for the forgiveness or remission of sins. It's not an outward sign of an inward grace. It's not something you do to stay saved. It's something you do to be saved. But if you're willing to do that, to be baptized for the right reason in the right way, you could be a child of God this night, and you can have a praying relationship with God and begin drawing nearer and nearer to Him through the avenue of prayer. I hope that you'll do that. Come forward as we together stand and sing.